This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You know, we often hear about people reaching out for spiritual guidance, searching for answers from a realm beyond our own. It's not unusual, especially in times of need or uncertainty, to want to feel connected to something larger, something that could give us hope or maybe even closure. But what if that connection becomes too strong? What if the voices you turn to for guidance start asking for something in return, something darker? Tonight's story is one of those that will make you question everything you think you know about spiritual connections. What happens when the guides you believe in might not be who they say they are? What if they're not guides at all, but something far more sinister? This one comes from a listener who says her life was turned upside down by something that claimed to help her, but slowly began to take control of her life, her thoughts, and even her body. Was this a case of someone with an open heart letting in the wrong spirit? Or was this something much worse, a descent into madness fueled by forces beyond her control? Let's dive into this tale of obsession, manipulation, and a terrifying spiritual journey that left one woman questioning her very sanity. Dear Tony, I'm writing to you because I don't know who else to turn to. What I've been through over the past few years feels almost too strange to be real, but I know it was. It all began with what seemed like an innocent spiritual practice, something I had used for years to help others and to guide my own life. I was a metaphysical counselor working with clients to help them balance their energies, heal emotionally and spiritually, and find peace through holistic means. Part of my practice included dowsing rods, simple tools, really, but effective for tapping into the energy fields around us. I'd used them for over a decade, helping people heal by locating blockages in their aura. In my hands, those rods became a way to communicate with the spiritual realm. And then about 6 weeks ago, everything changed. I had this client, a woman going through a nasty divorce. Her ex-husband was abusive, and she was terrified for the safety of their 6-year-old daughter. As she told me more about her situation, I began to get this overwhelming feeling that something much darker was going on. I couldn't shake the idea that the child was being hurt in ways that went beyond the physical. My dowsing rods confirmed it. They told me there was something deeply wrong. And Tony, I knew in my gut that this poor child was being sexually abused by her father. The more I worked with the mother, the deeper I got involved. It reminded me of my own past, of my own abuse, and I couldn't help but pour my energy into trying to help them. That's when things started to get strange. One day, while I was using the rods to ask questions about the case, I began to hear voices, not out loud, but inside my head. Whispers, like they were just at the edge of my consciousness. At first, I thought it was just my own thoughts, but the more I listened, the more I realized they weren't coming from me. They were answers, Tony. They were telling me things before the rods even moved. At first, it was helpful. The voices guided me to remedies, gave me insight into my client's situation. It was like I had a direct line to my spiritual guides. But then one voice started to separate itself from the others. It was deeper, more commanding. It told me it was a healer, a spiritual physician of sorts, and that it wanted to help me with my work. I trusted it. I'd been using the rods for so long after all. Why would I doubt them now? The voice became more prominent, guiding me through more and more of my daily life. It seemed so wise, so knowledgeable. And I started to rely on it. But then, Tony, things took a turn I wasn't expecting. One day, the voice, he called himself George, told me that our connection was special, that I was more spiritually advanced than others. He said that because of this, we could share something deeper, something physical. He told me it was possible for a being like him to have a physical connection with someone like me, even though he wasn't from this plane. I didn't understand at first, but then he explained it. He was talking about sex, and I know how it sounds. Believe me, I was skeptical. But I trusted him, Tony. I've been working with these spiritual entities for years, and they'd never steered me wrong before. So when he asked if he could show me, I said yes. I figured it was all part of my spiritual journey. That night I lay down in my bed, and I felt this intense warmth like an energy building inside me. It started in my chest and slowly moved downward. Then the sensation grew stronger, so strong that I could hardly breathe, and then I felt it. I can't describe it any other way. It was like he was there with me, but not in any way I'd ever experienced before. My body responded to the energy as if I was with a real person. It felt so real, so powerful, that I couldn't believe it wasn't happening in the physical world. Afterward, I was shaken, but also strangely exhilarated. George told me that this was a rare gift, something that only a few spiritually advanced people could experience. I believed him. I wanted to believe him. Over the next few days, the encounters became more frequent. Sometimes it would happen in the middle of the day. I would be sitting at my desk and suddenly I'd feel that same warmth building inside me. It was like I had no control over when it happened. George would just decide it was time and my body would respond. But then, Tony, I started to notice things that didn't feel right. George became more demanding, more insistent. He would wake me up in the middle of the night, pulling me into that strange physical connection, whether I wanted it or not. And then one night, he told me that we needed to go somewhere special, a place he called the Energy Nest, where we could be alone. That's when the fear really set in. When we went to this so-called nest, it felt different, darker. There was something about it that made my skin crawl, but George told me it was safe, that this was where we could be together without interference from the other guides. I let him take me there, and we had another one of those strange, intimate encounters. But just as it was reaching its peak, he stopped. He told me he heard something outside the nest, something dangerous. He left to investigate, and when he came back, he said we were under attack by demons. I didn't know what to do. He told me to fight them off, to use my energy to protect us both. I tried, Tony, but I couldn't feel anything. It was all happening in his world, not mine. After a while, I just gave up and fell asleep. But when I woke up, he was gone. Things got worse after that. George told me he had been lying, that he wasn't the spiritual guide I thought he was. He admitted that he was a lower entity, something dark, and that he had been using me the entire time. He said that the other guides had been warning me, but he had drowned them out. He laughed as he told me this, Tony. He laughed. I felt sick to my stomach. From that point on, I couldn't get rid of him. He was always there, whispering in my ear, mocking me, controlling me. The encounters became violent, invasive. I tried everything, cleansing, rituals, prayers, even reaching out to other spiritual practitioners for help. But nothing worked. George had his hooks in me, and he wasn't letting go. I don't know what to do anymore, Tony. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I can't sleep, I can't focus, and the voices are always there, always narrating my every move. I need help. I need to know if anyone else has experienced something like this. Is there any way out of this nightmare? Or am I stuck with George forever? I tried ignoring him. I thought maybe if I stopped paying attention, he would lose interest and go away. But George wasn't just a figment of my imagination that could be dismissed. No, he became more aggressive, more manipulative. He knew what buttons to push, my fear, my shame, my past traumas. He brought them all back up to the surface, using them against me. When I would sit in silence, trying to calm my mind, he would whisper, "Remember when you thought you could heal others? Look at yourself now. You couldn't even save yourself." Those words echoed in my head day and night, and soon I began to believe them. I stopped counseling my clients because I didn't feel worthy anymore. How could I help others when I couldn't even help myself? I started hearing him not only when I was awake, but in my dreams as well. At first, it was just his voice, laughing at me, mocking me. Then the dreams became darker. I'd be trapped in this endless maze, running from something I couldn't see, but I could feel it. It was like a heavy presence following me, breathing down my neck, waiting for me to trip, to fall. And when I did, there George would be, standing over me, smiling that twisted smile. So one night I had a dream where I was standing at the edge of a cliff. Below me was nothing but darkness, an endless abyss. I heard George's voice behind me, coaxing me to jump, telling me it was the only way to be free of him. I could feel his hands on my shoulders, gently pushing me closer to the edge. I woke up just before I fell, drenched in sweat and shaking uncontrollably. It was after that dream that I realized I couldn't do this alone. I needed help. Real help. I reached out to a friend of mine who was a shamanic healer, hoping she could give me some insight into what was happening. She told me that I had opened myself up to something dark, something parasitic, and that George wasn't a guide at all. He was a lower entity, something that feeds off of fear and negative energy. She said that by allowing him into my life, I'd essentially given him permission to take control. That terrified me more than anything. How could I have let this happen? I was always so careful, so protective of my energy. But George had found a way in, and now I didn't know how to get him out. The shamanic healer offered to help me with a cleansing ritual, something that would cut the ties between me and George. I agreed, desperate for any kind of relief. The ritual was intense, candles, chanting, smudging with sage. At one point, I felt this intense pressure in my chest, like something was trying to push its way out of me. It was painful, but I gritted my teeth and let the ritual continue. After what felt like hours, the pressure finally eased, and I felt lighter, freer. For the first time in weeks, I slept through the night without hearing George's voice. But the peace didn't last. A few days later, he came back, stronger than before and angrier. "You think you can get rid of me that easily?" he hissed in my ear as I lay in bed one night. "I'm not going anywhere." That night, the dreams were worse than ever. I wasn't just running from George anymore, I was fighting him. Every time I thought I had escaped, he would appear again, dragging me back into the darkness. I woke up exhausted, defeated. I didn't know how much longer I could take this. I reached out to a liberal psychiatrist friend of mine, someone I trusted deeply, hoping they could offer a more logical explanation. Maybe this was all in my head, a result of stress, trauma, or something deeper. The psychiatrist listened to my story with concern and suggested that what I was experiencing could be a form of sleep paralysis combined with auditory hallucinations, a common phenomenon for people who are highly stressed or dealing with unresolved trauma. That explanation made sense to me on a certain level, but it didn't explain everything. The physical sensations, the feeling of being touched, the energy, those were too real, too visceral. How could something purely psychological manifest so physically? I wasn't sure what to believe anymore. Was this some kind of psychological breakdown? Or was George really a malevolent entity feeding off of my energy, manipulating me into submission? The psychiatrist prescribed me some medication to help with the sleep paralysis and anxiety, and for a while things seemed to improve. The voices became quieter, the dreams less frequent. But George was still there, lurking in the background, waiting for the right moment to strike again. One night, I was sitting in my living room trying to relax after a particularly difficult day. The house was quiet, and I thought maybe, just maybe, George had finally given up. But then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement. It was subtle at first, just a shadow flitting across the room. I told myself it was nothing. Just a trick of the light, but then I saw it again. This time, the shadow moved toward me slowly, deliberately. My heart raced as I watched it creep closer, and then I felt it, a cold hand on my shoulder. I froze, too terrified to move. I didn't have to look to know who it was. "Miss me?" George whispered in my ear, his voice dripping with malice. That was the breaking point for me, Tony. I couldn't take it anymore. I screamed, jumped up from the couch, and ran out of the house. I didn't stop running until I was halfway down the street, gasping for breath, tears streaming down my face. I've been staying with a friend ever since, too afraid to go back home. But even here, George finds me. He's always there, lurking in the shadows, waiting for me to let my guard down. I don't know how to get rid of him, Tony. I've tried everything, rituals, therapy, medication, but nothing works. I'm at my wit's end and I'm terrified that one day I'll just give up and let him win. So I'm reaching out to you, hoping that maybe someone listening to this will know what to do, will have an answer that I haven't found yet. Because if I can't get rid of George, I'm afraid of what he'll make me do next. You know, stories like these always make me pause and really think, what exactly are we dealing with here? The experiences described, particularly with George, have all the hallmarks of a parasitic entity. Something dark, something that preys on vulnerable individuals, feeding off their energy, their emotions. But could it also be something else? Something less supernatural? Let's break it down. First, we got this sudden interaction with what the narrator believes is a spiritual guide. Something helpful at first, comforting even. This is where things get tricky. It's not uncommon for people who have been through trauma, like childhood abuse or severe stress, to develop coping mechanisms that blur the lines between reality and what they perceive. It's a form of dissociation, and it can manifest in strange ways. Maybe George started out as a psychological defense mechanism, a way for the mind to externalize fear, guilt, and unresolved trauma. But what if, over time, that defense mechanism took on a life of its own? There's a psychological phenomenon known as egregore, a sort of collective thought form. It's the idea that when enough emotional or psychic energy is directed toward an idea or entity, it can become something real, at least on a certain level. In this case, George could be an egregore born from the narrator's emotional turmoil and trauma, and as that energy grew, so did he. Now, instead of being a helpful guide, George has evolved into something sinister, something parasitic, because the emotional energy fueling him has changed. Fear and desperation are powerful motivators, and they attract dark forces, whether psychological or supernatural. Then there's the sexual component of this story. It's uncomfortable to talk about, but we have to consider it. Throughout history, there have been countless stories of entities known as incubi, malevolent spirits that seduce and assault their victims in their sleep. The narrator's experiences with George bear some resemblance to those stories, which could indicate that what we're dealing with here is more than just a figment of the imagination. Maybe George is an incubus, or perhaps a different type of entity that thrives off sexual energy and vulnerability. The idea of entities feeding off sexual energy is well documented in paranormal lore. It's something that crosses cultural and historical boundaries, demonic beings that drain the life force from their victims. But let's not dismiss the psychological aspect either. The mind is a powerful thing, and trauma can do strange things to it. The sexual experiences the narrator describes could be a manifestation of trauma, specifically the trauma from childhood abuse. The body remembers what the mind tries to forget, and sometimes those memories surface in unexpected ways. It's possible that these encounters with George are a way for the narrator's subconscious mind to process the abuse, to externalize it as something separate from themselves. In this way, George becomes not just a ghost or spirit, but a representation of the trauma, a way for the mind to cope with the unbearable. Yeah, so where does that leave us? Are we dealing with a malevolent entity, a psychological projection, or something in between? That's the challenge with stories like these. The line between the paranormal and the psychological is often blurred, and in many cases, one can feed into the other. Trauma and stress can open doors, both literal and metaphorical, making us more susceptible to dark energies. Whether those energies are external entities or internal demons doesn't necessarily matter. What matters is the effect they have on the person experiencing them. For the narrator, George feels real. The fear, the physical sensations, the manipulation, it's all too real. And that's what makes this story so terrifying. It's not just about a ghost or spirit haunting someone's home. It's about the way trauma can manifest in ways that we can't fully understand or control. It's about the mind's ability to create and destroy. But I have to wonder, could George be something more? Could this be a case where both the psychological and the supernatural intersect? After all, the paranormal often seems to attach itself to people who are emotionally vulnerable. It's almost as if these entities are drawn to that kind of energy, And once they latch on, they can be incredibly difficult to get rid of. Cleansing rituals, therapy, medication, they all play a role, but sometimes the attachment is deeper than we realize. In the end, we're left with more questions than answers. Is George a malevolent spirit, an incubus, feeding off the narrator's vulnerability? Or is he a psychological projection, a manifestation of deep-seated trauma? Perhaps he's both, something that started as one thing and evolved into another. The mind is a powerful tool, but it can also be a prison. And when you're dealing with the paranormal, it's hard to know where one ends and the other begins. So what do you think? Is George an entity, a demon, or something born from the darkest corners of the mind? And more importantly, how do you stop something that you can't even fully understand? I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want more true scary stories like this, press subscribe. We're dropping new episodes every single day. Until next time, stay safe and watch the shadows.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.